the one that's leading. I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the waters. Oh, I shall not be moved. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. I shall not be moved. Anchored in Jehovah, I shall not be moved, just like that tree that's planted by the water. Lord, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. No, I shall not be. I shall not be moved, just like that tree that's planted by the waters. Lord, I shall not be moved.
In His love.
In His love abiding, I shall not be moved. And in Him confiding, I shall not be moved, just like that tree that's planted by the waters. Lord, I shall not be moved.
Though all hell assail me,
though all hell assail me, I shall not be moved. Jesus will not fail me. I shall not be moved, just like that tree that's planted by the water. Lord, I shall not be moved. No, I shall. Like that tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Go ahead, brother.
I've got a quick two-part. First, my wife requested a prayer cloth right at the end of service. I get that out of the way before I forget it. And number two, I would like my testimony to be not what I say, but when God looks down and says, now I know.
Now I know.
It's good, you know, that other people can see and like, well, maybe he's a Christian, this and that, but what God says is what matters.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Amen.
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 Sure. Yeah.
Amen.
God bless you.
Sing.
Amen.
Lord, touch her.
Amen.
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 I shall not be.
Glad to be here. Glad God woke me up.
I'm
gonna speak something. Okay.
Amen.
Amen.
The voice of truth.
Yes.
Amen.
Oh, what I would do to have the strength of faith it takes to shout out of this boat I'm in.
Amen.
Onto the crashing waves. Step out of my comfort zone. Into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is. He's calling out his hand. Waves, they're hauling out my name and they laugh at me. Reminding me of all the times tried before and failed. Waves that keep on telling me time and time again, you'll never win. You'll never win.
Amen.
But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says, do not be afraid. The voice of truth says, this is for my glory. Out of all the voices calling out to me, I will choose to listen and believe the voice of truth.
Amen.
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 What I would do to have the strength it takes to stand before a giant.
Yes.
With a sting and a stone.
Yes.
Surrounded by the sound of a thousand warriors shaking in their armor, wishing they had had the strength to stand. Trying, calling out my name, and he laughs at me, reminding me of all the times tried before and failed. And he keeps on telling me time and time again, boy, you never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says, do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says, this is for my glory. Out of all the voices calling out to me, I will choose to listen and believe the voice of truth. Strongest says the right side, with the giant on the ground. And his ways, they don't seem so high, up at them looking down. Soar like the wings of eagles, and I stop and listen to the sound of Jesus singing over me. The voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says, do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says, this is for my glory. Out of all the voices calling out to me, I will choose to listen and believe. You know, I went to a luncheon Thursday and just be around the body. You know, you can talk yourself out of not going, but it was just so sweet. The sisters, and whenever you get together with the body, it's really good to be together. Try do it independently. I've tried independent and. Right, it's not good. You need people to talk to and bounce things off of. So it was so sweet.
Amen. Amen.
First, I want to give honor and praises to God. And sister, I agree with you 100%. That was a beautiful song, you know. And when the Lord talks to us and look over us, you cannot do anything wrong, you know. I just want to give honor and praises to him. And like my sister said, we were together Thursday. And I'm telling you, the love, the support that was there. And many times, I have also tried to do things on my own. But I tell you, It is a blessing when you have your sisters and brothers. Mm-hmm. I am just grateful and so thankful. And for the church, would you please pray for my husband? He's under the weather, and I just want to be here for him and our family. And I just want to say I love each and every one of you.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
I just wanted to give a praise report.
Amen.
Okay.
You know, I'm very thankful.
Yes.
I'm very grateful.
Amen.
You know, my daughter's been going through a lot. But one thing is behind her now. She had to go through a biopsy, which was pretty tough. But you know what? There's no cancer. God touched her body. When she first went in, it was just a matter of, there was a cyst and they were going to check that. God healed that. Took that completely away.
Amen.
Completely away. And then they started searching and looking for other things and found something else. So then she ended up having to go through a biopsy anyway. But, you know, it came back malignant. And I was so grateful and so thankful because this child has been through so much. So you guys, please continue to pray for her. You know, I believe in the prayers that come from this church.
Yeah.
This church, yeah. My church,
yeah.
I wouldn't have any other church other than this one. I wouldn't want any other pastor other than this one.
Amen.
Of course, unless he retires from Then, of course, we'll have Jeremiah, and I'll feel the same about you, brother.
That's right.
But, you know, I wanted to give God praise for that because, you know, that's something to rejoice about. You know, we're solid people. We're solid. You know, we believe this truth. We stand on this truth. And when we ask for God to touch a situation, God touches. God provides. There's not been one time that God has not provided my needs. I may have a whole lot of wants, and I may ask for a whole lot of wants, but when it comes down to it, those wants don't mean anything. What really means something is when you have that need, and that need needs to be filled, and God provides that need.
Yes.
And sometimes, you know, it comes in the most mysterious ways. You think, well, you know, it's going to happen this way, and God totally changes it to an opposite direction.
Yeah.
And you know what? I praise God for that, because I love seeing that I'm not doing it. You know, I'm not the one trying to do it. God's doing it. God is completely doing it and taking care of it. But
take
you know,
control.
And I also want to thank God for, oh, there's so many things he's done in my life. I can stand here and I could never thank God enough for all the things that he's done for me, for all the healings that he has provided in my own life. You know, I can look at my DNA from my parents, and I can say, God has touched me. I am not dealing with the things that my parents dealt with. And when those things come on me, I walk in this church and I say, Lord, you know my need. You know what I need. God's never failed me to touch me, to heal me, to help me. And I could never, ever, ever, ever thank him enough. I could never give him enough praise. And you know, there's other things that's been going on within the family, and I thank God for those healings. You know, the small ones mean something too. It doesn't have to be something big. It can be just the small things that God touches. But I could just stand here and I could just give him praise. I can run up and down these aisles. I can jump these pews. I can dance because I am so full of God, you know? I'm full, and I'm grateful,
amen,
and I'm
amen.
Thankful, and I love you guys.
Amen.
Thank you so much for all your prayers, for everything,
for everything.
Oh, my.
I can never thank you all enough. So, you know, little bride, just hang in there. Because God is going to take care of our needs.
Amen.
And I'm thankful today. I'm thankful every day.
Amen.
When I get up, you know, the first thing I do is I thank God. You know, that's the first thing. And I go through talking in the morning about people, you know, that need a touch. There's so many.
Yeah, yeah,
there's so many.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I can't think of all of them, but God knows who they are. And I expect God to take care of them as he takes care of me.
Amen.
I just wanted to say I love you guys. And I'm thankful this
Amen.
Morning.
Amen.
I'm so thankful.
Yeah.
Amen. I just want to update you on the test results that I received. They're the same. So I thank God for that because they're not worse, you know. So I just thank God
Amen.
For that. And, I mean, when I walked out of there, I just thank God because, you know, there's so many people. I mean, looking, going into that cancer place and seeing those people, there's so many people 10 times worse than what I am. So pray for them, too. I mean, I just pray
Amen.
For them. Thank God. I wish there was a word better than thank you to God because I just thank him. So
yeah.
Hopefully, I think you all know this song.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Sister Sue.
You know, we have so much to be blessed and thankful for in here. Look at the freedom we have, you know. I just feel like a free bird when I come in here.
I went on
a little field trip last Sunday. I didn't get to go to South Carolina, and I was sat there. I was like in a concert, you know. That's what I felt like I was at. It was a concert, seriously. I did get to raise my hand a few times because I'm a hand raiser. You know, I love to praise God that way. But it was just, I just am so blessed to have this freedom to come in here and thank God for what I have, you know. He's blessed my husband and me. Jim's had 4 colonoscopies this past year, and the last one's come back cancer-free, so I'm thankful for that. I want to give praise to God for that, you know. He's got to have a knee replacement now in December, so we got to get him through that, too. We want to keep praying for that healing quick and being able to get through it. But I'm just so thankful and blessed to have this truth, you know, this true word to come in here and get filled, not with just songs. I love the songs, too, but the word is so important. And I didn't know the enough difference between Elohim and God, you know, and it's just so clear now. And I'm just so thankful that our pastor and can tell us what the true word is, and we can grow in what God wants us to know at this end time and do what he wants us to do. And I just want to be a willing vessel, and I want to grow, and I want him to be able to say at the end time, I see that she did it, you know, because I just thank God that I have this true word. Yes. Nothing more important.
Amen. You'll be the last one, Kev. Then you can get the offer.
Okay. Well, I'm glad I made it. I want to thank God for being back here. I had a great time in South Carolina, but you know what? It's nothing being back in 1744 Superior. I'm so glad to be back here. And, you know, I was thinking, I'm so glad to have a home church because it is a blessing that we have a home church here. And, you know, we get the full word here. You just can't put in enough words to be grateful for what we got here. And, you know, I thank God for that. And, you know, the preaching that was in South Carolina was great, but when Pastor Moore got up and, you know, and he's preaching about Elohim, you know, now it just has a different tone now. It rings differently.
Yeah.
And, you know, he said it before, like, when you read the Bible now, it reads differently now. I mean, never would I have thought about Elohim in that way. But now it's like, that makes sense now. It makes sense. When God revealed it to you, you can't turn back. There ain't no turning back at all, and I thank God for that. And there's no doubt in my mind when I sat there, because I know Brother Fred, when he got up, he heard a little silence. Well, you know, some of the brothers and sisters may not agree with it, but I do. I can't speak for everybody else. I don't, you know what I mean? I don't know what they thought.
Come on.
But it ain't a mystery to me.
No,
it's not. You can't take what you want, what God says, something, all of a sudden you just think like, isn't that true? You gotta eat the whole book. It ain't pick and choose what you want. This is not how that works. You know what I mean? And I thank God that there ain't no qualms with me. I thank God for it. I really do. I thank God for it. This word is so true. I'm just so full. And, you know, I thank God about it. I just thank God. I mean, and also think about the faith. You know, Brother Seth preached 2 weeks ago about faith and having that perfect faith.
Right.
You have to have faith because God can't move without you being doubtful about every little thing.
Right.
You can't
right.
move that way. You just cannot move that way. And I don't want to be doubtful about anything. Just because you can't see it don't mean it ain't true.
Right.
Stand on it. God will come true. God's not a liar of his word. He's not.
Brother.
He's not a liar. Now, I might lie to you. I might tell you your hair looks great and it really
You're
don't.
Preaching.
I mean, seriously. I might just have to guard your feelings. You might tell me, Kev, hey, you know what? That shirt looks okay. And the back of your mind, like, that shirt looks ugly on you. You know what I mean? But God does not lie. He does not lie at all. He does not lie. And I'm just here to uplift. Stay true to God's word. He always will tell the truth no matter what, even if you don't see it. And I always try to encourage my wife, you know, by her knee. I know right now she's like, I was going around. I said, babe, hang in there. We're going to get through this.
Right.
She came today without her walker. And I sat there and thought, you know, I sat in my pew.
Wow.
And this is just me. God, we couldn't find this walker. I looked in the Flex. I looked in the other vehicles. I couldn't find it. And I'm like, you know what? I'm thinking, well, God might be just getting rid of this walker so you can walk. I'm seriously, because we maybe depend on this walker too much. Maybe you need to start walking a little bit more. So I'm just trusting God every day that her walk without that walker, so I can have full faith. I trust God enough that I want her to walk. I don't want no surgery. I'm not even thinking about surgery. I want God to heal her. I'm tired of it. Be honest with you. I'm tired for her because I see the pain in her eyes. I was like, Lord, you said you're gonna heal her. Heal her. I trust God on that. I do. And you know, I just love the body here. I love you guys. I was so glad to be represented with you guys. I mean, it was a blessing. We might have a small group, but we packed a powerful punch when we was there. So I thank God for it.
Amen.
I want to sing, Didn't I Walk on the Water?
As I kneel in the darkness, in the middle of the night, I'm praying for assurance, everything's gonna be alright. Lord, I see another battle out in front of me. I'm afraid I won't be able, and I'll go down in defeat. And he said, I walked on the water, and I calmed the raging sea. I spoke to the wind, and it hushed, and I gave you peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear you when you called? I walked right beside you just so you wouldn't fall. Didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sin? I searched until I found you, and I'd do it all again. And he said, do you remember where I brought you from? Just take a look behind you at just how far you've come. And every time that you ask me, didn't I deliver you? So why would you be thinking that I wouldn't see you through? Now she's talking to her father in a house that was once a home. She said, my bills are coming due, Lord. 6 days is not that long. She hears a voice so still and low, says, I've moved like that before. And I'll do this little thing, and I'll give you so much more. And he said, I walked on the water, and I calmed the raging sea. I spoke to the wind, and it hushed, and I gave you peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear you when you called? I walked right beside you just so you wouldn't fall. Didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sin? I searched until I found you, and I do it all again.
Amen. Amen. I want to sing Where Could I Go, and then we'll get him up. Talking to Isaiah this morning, one of our friends, I'll let her share it, but one of our friends lost somebody this morning, and it just jogged my memory about losing grandma and grandpa, just the last things I talked to them about and said. And just, I remember grandma coming back, she was on so much Dilaudid that, you know, she couldn't talk to anybody. But I go in the room and she takes my hand, she says, I know where I'm going. I'm okay.
Amen.
And just gets me choked up, because I remember losing grandpa too, and we were in the room, didn't know what to do, and because we're in the room, we shouldn't be there, you know, they were taking him away, and normally you're not there for all that. But mom looked at me, she's like, Skylar, you need to do something, you know, look to your grandma. So I knelt down in front of her, because she kept wanting to touch him, and it was bringing him back. And she said, you got to distract her and talk to her. So I knelt down in front of her, I said, you know, grandma, it's okay, we're all here. We love you. You know where he's going.
Yeah.
And everything will be all right. You know, life goes on. So it's just good to remember those things sometimes, because I bury my emotions a lot, I think. So when stuff like that triggers, you know, it's just good to think about it a little bit, you know, because I know where I'm going. I know I'm going to see them again. You know, it's all right. So, but where could I go but to the Lord?
Yes.
Thank you.
Without him. I can't walk this walk without him. I can't even breathe without him. It's not my goodness. It's not my righteousness. It's not what I can bring to offer to God. I need him like I need breath. I need him like I need sunshine. I need him like I need water. So as we come here this morning, we want to just let him know, I need the oh, I need thee. Every hour, I need thee. So I come to thee, I need
Precious Heavenly Father, I need you, Lord. If ever I needed you, it's now. Oh, God, it's so good to be in the house of worship this morning. So good to be gathered with your people here to open up the Word and to, Lord, look into your book and to find out what it is that you'd like us to know this morning. We can't do this without you. You're too big, you're too great, you're too mighty. But for you to humble yourself in such a way that you can come down amongst such a people, unclean people, and make yourself known in such a way that, God, you fill us in your love, and you fill us with your word, and you let us know that we're part of you. What a group of people. What a mighty God. What an hour that we're living in. But Lord, I can't do this without you. But Lord, as we come here this morning, we ask you to move everything aside. Let us open our hearts to you, Lord, that your word can just, Lord, flow through us. That you can use us, that you can speak through us, that you can speak to us. That both the speaker and the hearer can be so moved out of the way that, Lord God, you can move through this place and it just only be you. Oh, bless us now. Have your way with the word that's laid before us, Lord. Speak in such a way that, Lord, it becomes a clear understanding to us. Thank you for touching our bodies, healing us, and for answering our prayers, and for, Lord, being there for us. And Lord, let us now be here for you. Thank you for all you've done. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. It's good to be home. There's no place like home. I love what I get when I travel, but when I come back home, I can take my shoes off. I can get comfortable. I can be myself. Not that I'm myself when I go into places, because I'm going to be myself. And I loved our trip last weekend. I love the fact that we got to go as a body down to South Carolina. Really enjoyed the services there. Enjoyed being able to get with Charleston's church, the group, and the other churches that were there. There were churches from all over the place. I think there was somebody from New York, and they were from North Carolina, South Carolina. They were from all over the place, and it's good to be able to get out a little bit. That's why getting out is important, because it helps you to understand not only what you have, but where other people are. And it's good to fellowship. It's good to fellowship. I'm not going out there to try to make a name or to get attention or to even try to put my doctrine over on people, because I don't try to do that. And I was sort of kicking myself, and I was asking Jay that morning, Sunday morning, said, why can't I just come and speak of something simple like the Godhead or something, water baptism or something like that? It's less, I don't think it's controversial, but it's easier to just preach what people already believe or what people already know, or come from an angle that everybody comes from. But I'm just so unorthodox that it never works out that way for me. And it seems like I always get in the middle of stuff, and then I have to sort of dig my way out. But God gets me in it, and he always gets me out of it. So I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for you all going, and everybody that went was needed. Even to Kevin driving separate and bringing his tools. We had a flat on the way back, and everybody's out trying to figure out how to get the tire off the back of the van, and brother's doing that, and brother's looking up on the internet on how to do it, and brother's up front, and I'm sitting over there next to the road trying to keep an eye on the traffic because I didn't want anybody to get hit. And Kevin kept saying, I got a jack. Ain't nobody listening to Kevin because they're so busy trying to figure out what they got to do. Kevin's like, I got a jack. And so after about three or four times of hearing him say that, Kevin went back. Next I hear this big old dragging sound, and here comes Kevin with this jack. And it wasn't just a jack. It was a jack. And if it hadn't been for Kevin's jack, we wouldn't have been able to get the van fixed because the way it was leaning, that little puny jack they had in the van wouldn't have done the job. So everybody has a part to play. And I appreciate everybody who did go. And that's another example of why we stay together. You know, sometimes people are very independent, let's just say. I'll just use that word. And they think, oh, I'm not going to travel with the church. They travel too slow. They take stops. They do this. They, you know, and I can get home and half the time if I don't follow them. Well, you might. But, you know, sometimes it's a bigger picture than just about you. I could drive a lot faster, and I could go if I went by myself. I travel a lot faster when I don't have 11 cars behind me. And, you know, but sometimes eternal life is what you do for others, not sometimes, all the time. Eternal life is what you do for others. And when you're taking the time to get with the body and doing something as a body, sometimes you have to give up your independence. Oh, it'd be good. You get your own time, your own room, your own hotel. You go off and find a place yourself and be by yourself. And you know what? You can do that, but you can do that at home. You know, I look at times that we travel together as opportunities for us to get to know each other. You've learned things about people you didn't know about being stuck with them in a van for 10-11 hours. You learn people. You get, and you don't get control over who you're going to room with because the brothers put all the rooms together and they match up who they want to what, and you don't have a say-so in that. So you might be with a sister that you don't even like. But God will put you in there because you need to learn to like her. Or a brother that you bump heads with. It's somebody that's total opposite you. But you know what? It's a time for us to learn to... if you're going to go to heaven, you're going to be with them. 11 hours is nothing. So I think even in the travel itself, it teaches. I know I had a... I'm telling you, Skyler and Isaiah, the last trip we went down and we got down there okay, but then when we come back, they didn't want to listen to gospel music. They didn't want to listen. They wanted something to pep them up and keep them up and wake them up. And I'm like, no, it's not about you. But you know, you could be selfish and put you and make everybody else just sort of put up with it. But when you're doing these things, you're not doing it about. And I said, you know, create an atmosphere for the whole church. When we come here, we're creating an atmosphere for the whole church. And maybe I can listen to my music some other time, or maybe I could do whatever I do some other time. But when you're dealing with the body, you got to understand. I mean, I guess that's from a role as a pastor. You know, I'm used to always, you know, eternal life is looking out for others, what you do for others. And when you're dealing with more than you, you gotta respond to more than you. You gotta approach a situation to more than you. You say, well, I just like, you know, I like eating pork rinds, so I'm gonna open up a bag of pork rinds in a van, and they stink. But I like pork rinds, so you know, but the thing is, you gotta think of the other people.
Amen.
Think of the body. Think of the look at the whole picture when you're dealing with these things. And you can do your own thing on your own time. But when you're doing these projects like we do, take these trips and things, you got to always consider everybody else, even if it's taking your loss and their gain. It's not that deep. Nothing's really that deep. But you got to remember, you're the front vehicle. You can't go 75, 80 miles an hour, because if you got two or three people behind you, they got to go 80, 85 to keep up with you. So all those things are things you got to consider. And you might think, well, this front car is going too slow. Well, they're thinking about the last car. And it's the same way in anything that we do. So remembering your brother and sisters, especially when we do these projects together as a church, you'll grow from it. You'll learn how to think about others. You'll learn how to be more considerate of others. And it's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. But we had a good trip, and we all got back in one piece, and Lord blessed on the trip. And we actually fared well, and appreciate all the efforts that went in to the planning and the food and everything that this church did between the services. And God bless Brother Fred and them. They put the money out on food down there, and they took care of us every night. So God bless them for that, and God'll reward them. They'll get theirs, that's for sure. Amen. So this morning, I'm getting ready to start, but I'm just taking my time, slowing down a little bit, because, you know, I listened to Brother Jay on Wednesday, and he did an excellent job, and God is God, and I really enjoyed that. But I listened to him, I thought, you know, I'm really not finished with this, and I thought I need to go back and look at some, because it makes the whole Bible make sense. If you can understand the Godhead and how it works, you'll understand how you fit in there. So I want to go over here, if you want to read with me, over in the 2 Peter chapter 3. I want to read a verse or two here. It's not going to be a lot of reading, so if you want to turn over there, we'll read this, and we'll move further into the thought that I have for this morning. 2 Peter chapter 3. It's way in the back. Before Revelation, a couple of chapters before. It's a very small book. So if you'll want to find it, once you find it, stand up, please, and then I'll know you're ready. Oh, y'all found it. Okay. All right. 2 Peter chapter 3. Just two verses here, so you won't stand long. Starting at verse 8. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Verse 9 is where I'm getting my thought from. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his words. You may be seated. And I want to title the message this morning, The Temporal and the Eternal. And reading this scripture here, I want to start with the scripture, because it's interesting when you read the Bible that in one place it seems like this is for everybody, and then in another place it seems like it's not for everybody, and then it's one thing to think that God's going to do this for you and me and everybody under the sun. But then on the other hand, he says, you can't even come to the Father unless he draws you. Right. It's like, it almost seems contradictory, but it's not. But if you understand the plan of God and how God has made this thing work and how he put it together, you'll understand that God has something that he's always planned. And in God's planning, it includes so many things. And I don't want to go back and rehash all the way back to Elohim again. We've talked on that. And because I could spend days talking about Elohim and the condescending of Elohim. Elohim is a self-existing one. Elohim existed, and it existed before God manifested. And I don't want to use the term that way, because people think that when you say that God, he He started. It's almost like God had a beginning. But God didn't have a beginning, but he did have a beginning in manifestation. See, that's the key point that people are missing, and preachers and all are missing the point that God is an object of worship. And before he had anything created to worship, he wasn't God in manifestation. Okay? He was always God, but he was not manifested as God. Just like I was a father at the age of 6, potentially. See, but at the age of 6, though it was in me to be a father, I could not be a father until I was older and married and had a wife. Then I moved into the role or the attribute or the manifestation of a father. People have trouble understanding that God had a beginning of manifestation because they don't understand that God is an object of worship. And before there was anything to worship, he wasn't even God. Amen. And it doesn't mean he wasn't God, but he wasn't in God in manifestation. Amen. I think sometimes I just want to roll over that a few times because sometimes I think it takes a little bit of thinking to realize what I'm saying. Because at first glance, you'll say, well, he said God had a beginning. God had a beginning in his manifestation. So when you look at the Bible and you read about God, you're reading about everything that he did as God. And then you think about God, and we're thinking about eternal thoughts and temporal thoughts. Now Elohim, that Elohim is God, but he only had eternal thoughts in him that was going to manifest, everything that he thought was going to manifest. Now, as an attribute of God, we read when we were in Carolina where God repented. We read where God changes his mind. Hezekiah was going to die. God told him, said, you're going to die. And Hezekiah pleaded with God, and God changed his mind. So God can do some things that Elohim didn't do.
Amen.
God got away with things that Elohim didn't get away with. And I like the term Elohim because when you use the term Elohim, you're talking about God before he was God. But when you use the term of God, that means there's something that's worshiping him. And every time Elohim moved, it was a step down.
That's right.
It was a step down from who he was. And with every step down came the ability to do things that he couldn't do as Elohim. And when those things were manifested, they manifested in the roles that they played. Now, Elohim didn't play the role of God. He was a self-existing one. He was the great mind. He was all-encompassing. Omniscient. He was all present, all knowing.
Right.
He did all those things. But in that role as Elohim, he could not do what he needed to do for you and me.
Right.
In the role of Elohim, he could not even die for your sin. Because
right.
God can't die.
Amen.
In the role of Elohim, you couldn't see him. Because God can't be seen. No man has seen God at any time.
Amen.
So as Elohim wanted to cut into you, he understood he had to water himself down, if you please. He had to take a part of him and play a different role. So as he played the role of God, he became the creator.
Amen.
And Elohim was the thought of God.
Amen.
Because a thought unexpressed is just a thought. But the first thing Elohim wanted to do was to create.
Right.
So he created angels.
Amen.
And when he created angels, that's when he became God.
That's right.
Because now the angels could worship him as God.
Amen.
But then God wanted to create the heavens and the earth. And I'm way off my notes. He wanted to. I think sometimes you just got to go over these things so people can understand how the picture works. So God wanted to create. But remember how God created. He created by the spoken word.
Amen.
God said.
Yeah.
See, you can't create or you can't manifest something until it's spoken.
Right. Amen.
So God was the spoken mouthpiece of Elohim.
Amen.
Elohim was the thought.
Yeah.
God was the spoken word.
Amen.
In Genesis 1, he said, he said. He didn't think.
Right.
He said, let there be.
Right.
And when God says something, it has to come to pass.
Amen.
So he had a thought. And then he spoke his thought.
Right.
And a word is a thought expressed.
Amen.
So God said, just like you testifying, you got to testify. Because outside of you letting out what's in your mind, nobody knows what you're thinking.
Amen.
That same applies to Elohim. Until his thought was spoken, it was just a thought. It could not manifest as a thought.
Amen.
Do you know the sons of God shouted for joy before the foundation of the world?
Right.
In the mind of Elohim, he had a thought about us.
Right.
He had a thought about you. He had a thought about me. But he had to do something because he saw in his mind the sons of God shouting for joy.
Right.
And in order for that to happen, that thought had to be spoken, and that spoken thought had to be manifest.
Right.
And do you know how far down he had to come to get from where he was to where we are? Oh, that song, He Came to Me, has a whole new meaning.
Right.
When I couldn't go to where he was, he came to me. God didn't want anybody to perish, as we just read. And that sounds good. But you know, God didn't want anybody to perish, but he knew that some would. See, God had in himself some eternal thoughts and some temporal thoughts.
Amen.
Elohim had eternal thoughts.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
I understand a little bit. That's why there can see, God needed some wiggle room to work with. He needed a little room to be able to create. He needed to be able to do some roles and play some roles. But in order to play those roles, he had to dumb himself down a little bit.
Right.
He had to bring himself to where he could change his mind. He could repent. He could turn around. He can add years. He can do this. He can do that. But he couldn't do that as Elohim.
Right.
So in God's creating, he created man. He created the heavens and he created the earth. But when he created man in such a way that there's a little wiggle room in there. He told Adam, he said, of all the trees in the garden, you can eat of every one of them. But, now why did he even make the tree if he didn't want them? Why did he create that tree? Because God created everything. So in God's great creation plan, he put a little wiggle room in there. And in the garden, he said, you can eat all the trees except for that one that I made. Don't eat it. Don't touch it. Don't talk to it. Don't deal with it. Don't. Now, why would God do that? Because in the mind of Elohim, there was already a lamb slain. And that lamb was going to be slain.
Right.
But in order for that to happen, man had to fall.
Yeah.
Because you can't buy back something that you already own. So he created man in such a way and gave him a free moral agent. He made him a free moral agent. That means you can do whatever you want.
Amen.
Now we read to you that God's will was that no man would perish. But he knew. He knew. And by making a free moral agent, a free moral agent is someone who has the ability to choose what their morals are going to be.
Right.
Whether you want it to be to their left or to the right, whichever way you want it to go,
yeah.
It's totally up to you. See, that's why people are unbalanced on how God even saves people.
Right.
Because God created mankind in such a way that he can decide whatever he wants.
Amen.
God wasn't going to make you do it. He wasn't going to make Adam do it.
That's right.
He wasn't going to make any of us do it. He put us on a free moral agency that we make up our mind to do what we want to do.
Amen.
And God has to do it and watch and see what's going to happen. He didn't want to make us do it. He wanted to watch us. He wanted to see. That's why we read about Abraham. Abraham, now I know because of your actions. Now I know that you love me. God always put it in man's hand to find out whether he wants to serve God or not.
That's right.
God ain't made you do this.
No.
God don't. He won't force you to come to church.
No.
He won't force you to follow his word.
No.
He won't force you to say it's the truth. He won't force you to believe his word.
Right.
And he's God.
Right.
He could do that.
Yeah.
Brother Branham said God could have chose the stars and the sun to preach to us. But God chose the foolishness of preaching by man that we might be saved. That was God's chosen way.
Amen.
He could have forced us. He could have made us robots. But God couldn't get no glory out of that. He had the angels. The angels did what God wanted to do. And they didn't do nothing else. But you know what? God even put a little bit of moral agent in the angels. Because when he created Lucifer, he was the second in command in heaven. The prettiest angel. The most influential angel. But in him was a little bit of a decision. And he chose to take a third of heaven and come down here and start a war with God. God didn't even make the angels serve him. And so it was God's pleasure to create. Remember, Elohim stepped down in the role, not in a personage, but in the role of God. And in that role, God had a little wiggle room. He can give extra time. He can repent for things. He repented that he made man.
Right.
God wished that all men would be saved.
Right.
I read that to you in verse 9. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That was the will of God.
Right.
That's what he wanted.
Yeah.
But he wasn't going to get that.
Right.
Brother Brown said, not that God is willing that any should perish, but all might come to repentance. But being God, he knew and does know the end from the beginning. See? If he didn't, then he isn't infinite. And if he is not infinite, he isn't God.
That's right. Amen.
So he wasn't willing, certainly, that any should perish. But he, knowing who would perish and who would not perish, that's the reason, the very purpose that Jesus came into the earth, to save those that God, through his foreknowledge, seeing that would be saved, see, because the whole world was condemned. And I don't see how we could teach it any other way than that the foreknowledge of God, and the Bible says plainly, says that he knew the end from the beginning and could tell it. He knew who would be saved and who wouldn't. He knew that salvation was going to be necessary. He knew it when it even wasn't even necessary. When Adam and Eve was in the garden, they didn't need redemption. Not until after that touch of that tree of good and evil. He didn't have to redeem them. They were perfect. They lived. We don't even know how long they lived. They could have lived billions of years in the Garden of Eden before they finally had enough and said, okay, look, I'm going to touch that tree. We don't know. We don't know how long they were there. But we do know they left there. I can't tell you when they started, but I can tell you when they ended. I can tell you when that 1,000 years started. And see, all of this, God's something else. If he says something, he will do it. He told him, you touch that tree, that day that you touch that tree, the day you'll die. I think I read in verse 8, a day is like 1,000 years.
Amen.
1,000 years is like a day to God. God wasn't worried about it. Actually, you know what he was telling them? Same day you touch that tree is the day you're going to die. And it was that day. He's like, that's like me telling you, I'm going to shoot you today. Sometime today, I'm going to shoot you. You ain't going to make it to midnight. That's how quick that was that God put the judgment on them.
Wow.
They said, well, they lived 900 years. That's less than a day. God still got them before midnight.
That's right.
When I was young, Melanie knows, we'd do something at 9, 10 o'clock in the morning. Mama would look at us and say, before the day's out, you're going to get a whipping. We'd straighten our act up. We'd volunteer to wash the dishes. We'd go through lunch. We'd rake the yard. We'd sweep the house. Come dinner time, we ask if we can do the prayer. We do all this stuff. Come bedtime, we get to bed without being told. Get into bed, get under the covers, and thinking, I'm safe. But Mama, about 9 or 10 o'clock or whatever it was, she felt it. We would be laying in bed with the cover up around here, and we hear the shh, shh, shh. That's my mama's house shoes on that vinyl flooring coming up the steps. And you lay there, and you're hoping she's going to the bathroom. You're hoping she's going to some other room. But then the hall light's on, and the door cracks, and here she is. If my mama was like that, how much more was God?
Amen.
God told her, the day you do this, the day you're going to die. See, God holds himself to his own law.
Amen.
He does. He speaks it, and he fulfills it, and he does it because he holds himself accountable to his own word.
Amen.
He won't do nothing outside of what his word says. God will keep his word. Hebrews chapter 6. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear, verse 13, by none greater, he swore by himself, I will do what I said I'm going to do. God's a keeper of his word. But he didn't want no man to perish. But how can he not want any man to perish? But yet he's got to perish some. And how can you justify that? Well, God had a little wiggle room in there. It was desire that all men would be saved. But he knew some wouldn't. Because Elohim told him that wouldn't. Elohim told him there's going to be a cross. There's going to be a Calvary. There's going to be a salvation. There's going to be a falling away. There's going to be redemption paid. And that redemption is going to have to be done for the body. And the bride and the church will believe it and receive it. God knew that. And God built this earth according to what he had in his mind. But he knew that man would get lost. Now, when God says he is going to do a thing, he does it. Regardless of what anybody else thinks about it, what anybody else says, anybody says, when God speaks of something, he is duty-bound to interpret that word himself. And his vindication of the word is his own interpretation. Notice, vindicating his Messiah's message, he promised what the Messiah would do when he comes. God speaks it, And he vindicates the word itself by bringing it to pass. You don't have to prove God's word. I don't have to stand up here and try to convince you that God's word is right. God's word is going to come to pass as he said it was going to come to pass, as he spoke it, every bit of it right on time. When he said Israel was going to be down in Egypt for 400 years, they were 400 years to the day. When he said one's going to come and die for us all, Jesus came and died for us all. When he said that we were going to have redemption, when he said he's going to have a church ages, he had every last one of them. When he said he was going to do whatever God says he's going to do, he's going to do.
Amen.
And you can bank it. You can build. See, that's why we build our life on this. Because we believe that we believe God. People don't believe God. That's why they don't go to church. That's why they don't worship God. That's why they don't serve God. They really don't believe God. They say they do. It comes out their lips. But there's no interpretation of the word in their life.
Amen.
You can say you love God all you want. And if you never produce what God's calling for, then you don't love God. If God requires you to do things, then if you love God, you're going to keep his commandments. That's what the word says.
Amen.
I'm not telling you something the Bible didn't say. You say, oh, this is hard. This ain't hard.
No.
You keep his commandments because you want to. A wife who loves her husband, really loves him, she wants to keep his commandments. She wants to do his will. She wants to do what he wants. She ain't just going to talk, oh, I love you, love you, love you. No, no, he ain't worried about that. He wants to see the manifestation. God's not worried about your talk. He's worried about, like I said last week, your walk. He wants to see in action his word.
Amen.
Because I have people tell me all the time they love God. I have people tell me all the time, oh, I'll go to church when I do this and when I quit that. And oh, we'll come and visit you and all this. I ain't worried about that. I just sit back and watch, just like God does, and see what you're going to do with his word. If the word says, forsake not to assemble yourself together, gather yourself together, I'm just going to sit and watch. If you don't come, then I don't have to say nothing to you. But then you'll come at your Easter and Christmas, and you'll say, oh, brother, I love this church. I am so in love with this message. I love God. Hallelujah. I am so blessed to be here today. And I got the dead eyebrow look. And I don't believe a word you're saying. Because your actions are speaking louder than your words. Oh, I love to see people testify. I invite y'all to do it all the time. Because you know what I know? When you speak it, then your actions got to back it up.
Amen.
You ain't going to come in here and say God's good and he loves you. And then next time I see you, you're down and out and don't know if you even one of them. I'm like, That's a contradictory of terms.
Right.
That's an oxymoron. That's something's wrong with you. You're saying one thing and I'm looking at something else. If he's your life, he's your life. If he's not your life, quit fooling yourself. Because you ain't fooling nobody else. Everybody knows. A believer knows. God knows. God sits back and looks at you and watches you. People think that God's making you do stuff. Oh, God's causing me to do this, and the devil made me do that, and the devil and God ain't got their hands on you. They're like, what are they blaming me for? I didn't do nothing. And it's all you. I've heard Don say, you know, sometimes it's God, sometimes it's the devil, and sometimes it's just you. Because you're a free moral agent.
Right.
You can serve God if you want to. You can serve the devil if you want to. And I'm even talking about believers.
Right.
Even after you're born again, you can serve God or the devil.
Right.
To whom you yield your members.
Amen.
What members?
Right.
Your flesh, your spirit, your body. To whom you yield your members, his servant you are.
Right.
Oh, you might be a hired hand for the devil, and he might be only using you for a while, but you're still his servant.
Yeah.
If you're doing the deeds of the devil, you're the devil's servant.
Amen. Amen.
Call yourself a Christian all you want.
Come on.
Say I'm a believer all you want. Your very life's going to talk loud in you. It's like racing yourself. You're on a race to the finish line, and your life is a wreck. And you try to convince us that you're a believer. Well, your life is going to outrun your talk.
That's
And nobody else has to say a word. We don't have to pound it on. You know, in apostolic, they try to pound the Holy Ghost in me. They did. Say hallelujah, say hallelujah, say hallelujah. Faster, 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 faster. You know, you say it fast enough, you will speak in tongues. You will. Because you can't talk that fast. You'll stumble over your own tongue. But they try to put the Holy Ghost in you. Well, that ain't the way you get the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is a clear understanding of the Word of God.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost is a... Jesus didn't say when he comes to you, he's going to speak in tongues. He said when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will lead and guide you in all truth.
Amen.
All word is all truth.
Amen.
And when you receive the Word, you become the Word. Yeah. And when you become the Word, your very inspiration becomes the Word. Your very life becomes the Word.
Amen.
Your very action becomes the Word. You start living the Word of God even if you don't even know what you're doing.
Amen.
Do you know down through the ages they lived the Word of God and didn't even know it?
Amen.
Luther didn't know he was a part of the body. He was groping in darkness trying to figure this thing out and didn't even know he was a very piece that God was using. And Luther didn't even know if he had enough Holy Ghost to be saved. Praying every night, oh God, somehow save me. But he was ordained of God to be there. He never was lost. He was ordained, foreknown, predestinated of God. And anybody that's foreknown and predestinated of God will be there. Period. Period. And I don't care what you do. I don't care how bad or how good you try to live. If you are predestinated and foreordained of God, you will be there.
Amen.
Those that are foreordained of God and runs from this thing, God goes after you. He's obligated because you come from the mind of God. And he's got to have everything that came out of Elohim. He will have everything fulfilled out of Elohim. And when you try to run from him and you belong to him, God will chase you down. God doesn't chase everybody down. Jesus didn't go everywhere, but he did have needs to go by way of Samaria.
Amen.
He chased her down. He chased certain ones down. He chased the disciples down. He chased different people down. There's some people he didn't even want.
Right.
If you didn't come from God, God don't want you. See, that's what people don't understand, that if you didn't come from God, God's not even interested in you. That ain't the way they teach that in the church. They open up the doors of the church and try to get everybody in. I don't want everybody in here. I only want the elect seed of God in here.
Amen.
If you didn't come from God, you can't go to God. I don't care how many chairs I put out here.
Amen.
Amen.
Woo,
come on.
You might wonder now when you can use the word eternal. Because we read the Bible, it's in there all over the place. Brother Brown was trying to show us, when can you use that? When can you use the word eternal and not use it the way that we've been taught? That's easy. When it applies to God, it means to be without beginning or end. And ever enduring and never ceasing. Because there's some things that never had a beginning and never had an end. And there's some things that had a beginning that'll never have an end. They're ever enduring and never ceasing. Just like you. You come from God. That seed that was in you from your mother's womb when you were born naturally was ungermatized seed. But it was God. It was in you all the time. You never did get eternal life. You can't get eternal life. Eternal, the word eternal means no beginning and no end. So you can't get eternal life. So if you have eternal life in you today, you've always had it. It was just in a germ seed form, not manifesting. But remember, every thought of Elohim will manifest. It was a part of you that was God himself that was in you when you were born. When you took that first breath of life,
God put that germ seed in you because he already, by his foreknowledge, his foreknowledge gave him the ability to know what you were going to do when you ran across the word. See, that's, it's not God making you do this. God already saw what you did.
Amen.
What makes him so powerful is that he already knows it. Not that he's doing it. He knows what you're going to do.
Amen.
He knows what you're going to decide. And if you're going to ever serve God, God saw you already serving him from before the foundation of the world in the mind of Elohim. And when you were naturally born, God put a little bit of eternal life in you. Because you can't join this family. You can't get into this family just because you think it's a good group of people. Oh, Fairburn Tabernacle's a good group of people. I'm going to join that church. You can't join this church. At the end of this service, I won't throw a chair out here and ask you to come and sit in it. Because you can't join the Word of God. You have to be a part of the Word of God. And if there's a dormant germ seed of God already in you, when you hear the Word of God, you cannot help but to move towards the Word of God.
Amen.
Look at a natural seed. What happens when you spill a little water on a natural seed? You put a little water on a natural seed, first thing it does is it sticks its little head up.
Yeah.
And it starts heading towards the sun.
Yeah.
I don't care where it is, it starts looking for the sun. Right. See, that's what happens with a seed of God.
Amen.
God made in a natural a testimony of what happens to you in the spiritual.
Yeah.
When a seed of God hears the word of God, that germ gets germatized. And that germatized seed starts seeking the sun. The sun doesn't come looking for the grass. The grass goes looking for the sun. The sun doesn't go looking for those flowers. The flowers look for the sun. That's the way it works. When the word of God comes across a seed's path that's been ordained and foreknown of God from before the foundation of the world, that seed will automatically gear it. It can't help but to look for the light. And when it hears the word of God, something on the inside says, that is nothing but the truth. I never heard that before in my life, but it's different than anything I've ever heard. But then there's something on the inside start moving. I came to church one time. And I heard Brother Childers preaching. And he preached this message like I never heard it preached. And he talked about a prophet. And he talked about a message. And never heard and didn't know nothing about it. I was apostolic. Come from the apostolic church. But something inside of me, when I heard the word preached, said there's something to this. There's more to just serving. Because I know what happened to me when I spoke in tongues. I spoke in tongues and I said to myself, there's got to be more than this. What did that? It wasn't my knowledge. It wasn't my understanding. It was that germ seed of God that got quickened, and it knew it was hungry for something.
Amen.
When I heard the word of God and Brother Childers preaching to me under the seat, I said, oh my God, I never heard nothing like this in my life. It's making more sense than anything I've ever heard. It's tying things I've never had tied. Now I can read the Bible and understand it. But what's happened? That seed come to life. And it didn't come to life like it wasn't there. Do you realize a seed, a real seed, doesn't get life when you plant it in dirt and pour water on it and put it in the sun? It gets no more life than it already has.
Amen.
Oh, my goodness.
Amen.
You get no more life than that's what's already in you. You're not getting born again to get life. He is awakening that life that's in you. And you do. Let me just say this. A plant gets no more life than what it had when it was in a seed.
Amen.
Every apple in the apple tree is already in that seed. Every leaf that it'll ever produce is already in that seed. Everything that it'll ever manifest is already in that seed.
Amen.
Do you realize a believer is walking around here with a dormant seed of God in him?
Yeah.
God himself is in there.
Yeah.
A dormant seed is God himself. And when you're born again, you get no more God.
Amen.
You get no more God after your new birth.
Uh-huh.
than you do when you were born again. Oh, we'll have a lot of leaves. Oh, we'll have a lot of things we'll learn. We get a bunch of information. But the day you're born again is the day you're ready for the rapture. You don't have to know a bunch of doctrines. You don't have to know a bunch of scripture. The life that's in you never does grow. It never gets more. You get more information. It comes out more. It manifests the leaves. It manifests the fruit. It manifests all these things. But you don't get another life. You don't. God doesn't come and have to keep pumping life in you. Pumping life. Oh, you've been here a year. I'll give you more life. Oh, you've been here 3 years. I'll give you more life. No, the same life that was in me when I was born again 40 years ago is the same life that's in me today.
Amen.
I got no more God today than I had 40 years ago. I got more information. I can preach up a storm now, but 40 years ago I couldn't tell you a thing, but I didn't get any more life. Oh my, y'all get me off the script, y'all off the message all the time. You might wonder now, when can you use the word eternal and not use it the way we've been taught? That's easy. When it applies to God, it means without beginning or ending or end, and ever enduring and never ceasing. And when you talk of eternal life, you have in your mind, you have that in your mind, which is the life of God. This is the record that God has given us eternal life. And that life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. Now then, only sons of God have eternal life. Have that life eternal. The kind that never had a beginning, but always was. That's right. You have something in you right now that is eternal. Without beginning or end. It is the Spirit of God. It is a part of God himself. It is the life of God. That's what's in you.
Amen.
Elohim has reduced himself to where he could actually get in you. And he's been in there the whole time. When you were out in the streets running around as a youth, he was there. When you were playing church in the backyard, he was there. When you were playing around out in the streets and doing all the dirt that you could do, he was there. See, people think people come to church and get their lives cleaned up and God comes and gets them. No, 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 that's not the way it works. He was with you from day one. That's what makes it eternal, because you never did have a beginning and you never had an end if you are of God. And he actually brings to life. He quickens. I use the word bring to life, but the real word is quickens. He quickens to life that that's already in you, and the manifestation starts at that point.
Right.
And then you start manifesting the Word of God, and you don't control that. You don't have any control over that at all. God is in total control of that. You know what? You can't even get smart. You say, I'm going to learn this message. I'm going to learn the Bible. You can't even get this thing. You can't even read the Bible and understand it without God.
Amen.
He said, when the Holy Ghost has come. Now, the Holy Ghost is the quickening power that quickened that eternal seed that's in you.
Yeah.
And he said, when that Holy Ghost has come, he will take a mind. My what? My word.
Yeah.
And show it unto you.
Ooh.
So we'll come to church. And we'll come to church. And we hear more and we hear more. And we put up limbs. And we put out branches. And we put out leaves. And we put out fruit. But it doesn't change the life. Life is always there. Oh my, that should make you want to shout.
Amen.
He said in another quote here, and God hides the substance of simplicity. He said, we say this, but to reject God's simple message, to reject it, God's simple way is to be destroyed eternally. Destroyed. Do you know what that means? That it be destroyed eternally means you never were a part of God. Eternal. Eternal means you couldn't get on or you couldn't get off at any point. You could never get in there. Eternally separated from God means God never knew you. That's what Matthew 25 says. It says, when it got into the great white throne judgment, a lot of good people, churchy people, religious people, spiritual people, people with gifts, people with signs and wonders, standing before the throne, being judged by God, not as a bride, but standing there to see if they're going to get to live or die. And they stand before God, and they didn't do nothing for God, but they did everything for themselves. And they stood before God, and they said, God, didn't we heal in your name? Didn't we do these great signs? Didn't we visit you when you were sick? Didn't we do all these things? And God looked at them and said, let me check the book. You built hospitals. I don't see that in here. You did a lot of good deeds. Now, remember the rich young ruler? I did that from my youth. Now, I don't see. And your name was again. I don't give extra credit for building hospitals. He says, you stand on the left. Depart from me. I never knew you. Never knew you. That means you were not in the mind of God from before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
You came into existence somewhere after God started doing things.
Right.
Where'd you come from? Where was all this other stuff coming into play? Was after the fall. Cain was of the wicked one. God has sons, and so does Satan. And there's a whole line of people who are Satan's children who has no love for God at all. Though they look good, though they sound good, though they go to church, though they give their bodies to be burned. Read 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians if you don't believe me. If you don't have charity, God, it's all done in vain. Jesus said, in vain do they worship me. Teaching after the doctrine and the commandments of men. God never knew them. They were eternally separated from God. When they were born naturally, God didn't give them that germ seed. In that operating room when the angel of life was hovering over that mother, waiting for the birth of that child, they gave that child life because of God's law. God's law said if an egg and a germ cell get together, it will produce a child, and I promise you, I'll give it life. It had nothing to do with the eternal plan. Had nothing to do with whether they were sons or daughters of God. God gave all men life. That's why Eve said, I got a man child from the Lord when she was talking about Cain, and Cain was of the wicked one.
Amen.
But God, by his own law, was locked into giving Cain life. He was locked into giving everybody life. And he's like, all these people that are coming, they're not even mine.
That's right.
The bond woman has many more children than she that has a husband. So yes, he visits the hospitals. And yes, he visits the homes where the babies are born at home. And he goes and he said, but God, there's no seed. Don't worry about it. I'll take care of that later. I promise that if they got the seed together, that I will give them life. So give them that life. You sure? Yeah, give it to them. Because all life comes from God, Brother Lockett. So they come here, body, spirit, and soul. But the believers come here, body, spirit, soul, and a seed of God. Because they're eternal. That's the only difference between you and the drunkard down the street. That's the only difference between you and the preacher down the street. You received a seed of God when you were born because God, by his foreknowledge, knew that you would come to the Word.
Yes. Amen.
You weren't playing. Right. You were going to sell it all out. You were going to give it all up and take him instead.
Amen.
God knows all these things.
Yes.
And in Genesis, when he said, let there be,
That was the active movement of God by the spoken word. God never had to do anything like with his hands in clay. All he did is speak the word. God creates by the spoken word. That's why the spoken word is so important today. Do you know God creates even now by the spoken word? Your seed is germatized by the spoken word. You say, well, I've never heard this before in my life. There's something on the inside of you saying this is right. That's God moving in you. There's a chance you might have a seed germ from God. You say, but I've been a bad person. God don't even look at that. He ain't worried about whether you were good or bad. He ain't worried about how much you love him, how much you don't love him. Because there's a lot of people who love God that God don't love. There's a lot of girls I had a crush on that didn't like me. I don't care how much you crush it. Oh, I like her so much. She walks right by you and go to the football player. I don't care how much they say they love God. God's got to love you as well as you love God. It's a marriage. Both has to work.
Amen.
You can't just marry a woman just because you man, me woman. That went out with the cavemen. You marry because you love.
Amen.
God loves you and you love God. That's a good marriage.
Yeah.
If it's a one-sided marriage, God loves you and you don't love God, it won't work right. Or if you love God and God don't love you, it won't work right. It's got to be both ways. And God is correct. We don't think God loves us when he corrects us, but that shows he does love you. Brother Branham said here, in the beginning, God was not even God. He was the great eternal, and there were attributes. Attributes was his thoughts. And then he became word, like this. And the word expressed, well, a thought expressed is word. A word expressed is thoughts. You're hearing words out of my mouth from thoughts from somewhere. That's where it starts. That's how God created. He started by the spoken word. And those spoken words were the thoughts of Elohim. And then remember, if you ever was in God's thinking, you'll always be there. If you got eternal life, you know, I read the scripture now in the last couple of days. I'm like, oh my goodness, now I understand. Do you understand what you read it? Now I do. I understand the quotes. I understand what Brother Branham said. If you ever was in God's thinking, you'll always be there. If you got eternal life, you are the expression or the attribute of his thinking for this age. You are the expressed image. That's why you gotta live something. It's like, I don't have to live nothing. You know, you don't have to. Free moral agent. You don't have to, but the elect seed of God will.
Amen.
And I won't know it until after I see it. You're telling me you're a seed of God, and I see you looking like a living like a devil. I got a right to believe that you're not a seed of God.
Amen.
You might get mad about it, but I don't care about that either. Like Brother Branham said, if you say you have a wife and you never produce her, I got the right to doubt you. There's only one eternal life, and it's always existed. And you, in his mind, existed before the world, before there was a world. That's the reason he said he chose you before the foundation of the world. It isn't what you think, what somebody else thinks. It's what God's eternal. You always was seeing in his thinking. You always were seeing his thinking. God was seeing you before he started expressing anything. But God was humbling and coming down, condescending from Elohim through God, through Jesus, through the Holy Ghost. Now he's made himself one with you. He's not going to take you and put you in a dog. He don't want to go any lower than he is. This is what God had in his mind from before the foundation of the world. This is what he wanted to do. This is where he wanted to dwell.
This is what he wanted to live. He wanted to manifest himself in you. He wants you to be the eternal manifestation of God's thinking. Amen. And do you realize that even when we leave here, go into rapture, go to the marriage supper, go to the new earth for the thousand-year reign, after that, go off into the new city and the new Jerusalem come down, even after all of that, we will still be the eternal thought of God expressed.
Yeah. Amen.
It'll never change. There's only one thing out at all, out of everything else, the whole world and everything else, there's only one thing eternal, and that's God. Before there was an atom or electrons, or before there was even cosmic light, electrons or anything, he was God. He's a creator. And that's the only way that you can be eternal. See? Is to receive eternal life. The Greek word there, I think, is Zoe. Zoe. And then that's that God imparts to you as the Father. Your Father imparts his life to you through the marriage vows, through the mother. And he, by that, imparts the joy of imparting, catch me, of the imparting life for a son. And that's the way God does. Joy, that's the way God does. Joy imparting his life as a son, see? And then you become part of him, which is Zoe, God's own life. I give unto them eternal life. It's God's life imparted into us. It's not us deciding we're going to do this and we're going to do that. Your decision is whether you want to believe it or not. But God being eternal and all-knowing, and by his foreknowledge, he already knows whether you're going to believe it or not. He knows if you're playing games or not. He knows if you're serious or not. He knows all of this. But as the role of God, he's got to watch and see what you do. He wants to see the manifestation. See, God looks for manifestation. Elohim don't look for manifestation. It just is. It just is. This is the way it is. You ever talk to your dad and you want to do something and he's just like, it's just the way it is. There's no discussion, no second opinion, no nothing. It's just dad says, it's just the way it is. And what do? You run right to mama. And you plead to mama the same case. Now mama's like God. Like she gives a little. She's like, yeah, I know your dad said that. Yeah, 8 o'clock is 8 o'clock, but okay, I'll give you to 8:15. Now don't be late. Don't be later than 8:15. We all know how that works.
Yeah.
That's Elohim and God. Elohim is just is. It's just a flat. This is the way it is. And God says, okay, I know the mind of Elohim. I know what he's saying. No, but, you know, I got a little wiggle room. I can negotiate this and I can do that. But the bottom line is Elohim's still right. And it's still going to be the perfect will of God.
Right.
Now, you're dealing with some permissive will by coming in at 8:15 and hoping daddy don't see you and mama lets you in the door. Because if daddy gets you at 8:15, daddy's going to say, I thought I'd say at 8 o'clock.
Right.
If mama opens the door, mom would say, come on, be quiet, get in here. Y'all know I'm telling you the truth. And the only way that you can be eternal is to receive eternal life. The Greek word there is Zoe. It says, it's like the marriage vow. And it's like when God imparted himself into you. He would not impart himself into you if you weren't going to go all the way. Well, there's a lot of people around the Word. And they take bits and pieces and they add to and take away and they do all these things. But they don't have eternal life in them. You say, how's that? Jesus stood there looking at them. He said, why can't you understand my Word? It's even because it doesn't have a place in you. That's what's the problem. You think this is hard? I know why this is hard. Doesn't have a place in you. When I get up here and testify, I'm only like, oh, it's just so hard. My life is just so hard. It just don't have a place in you. But I got it rough. Do you know Jesus had it rough?
Right.
Amen. I mean, my goodness. We don't have to haul water. We don't walk anywhere. You went all the way to South Carolina in 10 hours, and y'all complain about that. But do you know if you were on the back of a mule, how many days that would have taken?
Right.
Meeting been over by the time you finally got there. Oh, we hadn't been asked to do, it's been easy comparatively. Oh, Brother Branham said our biggest problem is overcoming this easy lifestyle. It's so soft and so easy that we become soft and easy. But God knows what you're going to do with His Word. And if this thing is so hard for you serving God, then you need to rethink what God is. Because God is taking care of all of your needs. He takes you. He even gives you some wants. He don't give you all your wants, but He gives you a lot of your wants. So Zoe is in you. God's own life is in there. And God's taking care. You know what God's taking care of? He's taking care of His life. He's not taking. I don't carry around. I don't even think I brought it with me. But I have some cough drops in my head in my pocket yesterday. And it has wrapper on it. I got them from Doug. And this was wrapped, and then it had another wrap on the inside. And then the actual cough drop was on the inside of the inside. Now, when I go to eat this cough drop, and I actually did this one day. We were driving, Doug and I were driving, and I pulled the cover, the outside off, threw that thing in my mouth, and it was paper. Now, did I say, well, it's part of the whole cost. I got to take the paper with it since I already got it in my mouth. No. My entire body went into rejection. My tongue stuck out. My hands went up. Get that paper off because all I want is the cough drop. God ain't worried about your house. We put so much care in taking care of this house. And try to make sure our spirit's right. Because that's that second layer. Five inlets to the flesh, five inlets to the spirit. But all God wants is the soul. When He gets through with this thing called life, all He's going to take is the soul. The dust, the house will go back to the dirt where it came from. The spirit will go back to God that gave it. And the soul is going to go to a theophany, a brand new home that's waiting on me in the heavens, just waiting on me. Eternal. Another part of that eternal mind of God waiting in the heavens.
Amen.
So God is trying to do this thing, and He wants to make sure that we do it right. Because if we were in His thinking, then you're eternal. If you weren't in His thinking, you never will be. I'm just going to skip on down because it's almost 12. First, Colossians chapter 1, verse 14. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin, who is the image. Now, I told you this Bible reads different when you understand the condensation of God, the condescending of God. Who is the image of the invisible God. You couldn't even see God till you saw Jesus. Moses wanted to see God. Moses seen the pillar fire. He had seen lightning on the top of the mountain. He had heard the voice of God. He had had miracles and signs and wonders, but Moses said, I want to see God. God said, I can't let you see me yet. It ain't time. But what I will do is I'll come and visit you, and I'll just let you see my back. But what did he show him? A man. I'm going to be a visible being. God wants to be visible. Jesus, who is our firstborn, he is the first visible representation of God. His bride is the second.
Amen.
We, in this hour that we're living, is the visible image of the invisible. Every scripture that applies to Jesus applies to us. Who is the image of the invisible God? The firstborn of every creature. He was the firstborn because he had to be first, because he was the payment for our price for redemption. For by him were all things created. Oh. That are in heaven and are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones, dominions, principles, principalities, or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things. And by him all things consist. Not just the godly things. All things consist. As bad as this world order is, you know what? If God ever repented that he made man, should be now. Man is done. He has ruined God's thought of a good person. But it doesn't change God's mind about his word. God's truth is marching on. The word will still be the word. I don't care how rough it gets. I don't care how bad it gets. I don't care who's in the White House, who's on the Pope's throne, who's under London, England. I don't care who's on Downing Street. I don't care who's in Africa. I don't care who's in the Philippines. I don't even care who's in Russia. God's truth will still be marching on.
Amen.
And you don't need to worry too much about it. Don't get so caught. That's what I say. Don't get caught up in this world. Jesus said, if this world was my home, I'd fight for it. This ain't your home. Don't spend too much time trying to figure this out. It ain't going to happen. I'll go downtown and see you down there picking in the abortion clinic. I'm like, what are you doing? Oh, well, I got to make this world a better place. Oh, I wish it was a better place. But do you realize we are sliding downhill? Do you realize the later it gets, the faster we're going?
Amen.
This world is on its way to hell in a handbasket.
Amen.
And you spend, I don't care in whose books you look at. I don't care in what television station you watch. I don't care in what political group you talk to. None of them are right.
Amen.
The only one that's right is Jesus Christ. And they don't want him. Neither one of them want him. Nobody wants him. The Pope don't even want him. You're not going to save this world. All the elect seed are dwindling down to just a minor group of people who really want God. At the pyramid, the capstone, there's not very much room at the top of the capstone. And it's got to be narrowed down. You don't need churches that got 10,000 in and out. If you got a church of 10,000, I question 9,998 of them. If there's a real seed of God in there, it'll find the word of God. Somewhere along the line. Because God already saw you finding it. He already saw you. See, you got to make up your mind. You got to decide. It's not on God's. He's not coming here. I'm not here trying to plead with you on your grandmother's prayers. I'm not trying to convince you that I'm right on your mother's prayers. Oh, your mother prayed for you. Come to the altar. Oh, come. And I'm not trying to pluck on your strings to make you love God. I'm going to put the word out there, and if there's a seed, a journal, elect seed of God in you, you will be drawn to the word. You won't be drawn to me. You'll be drawn to the word.
Amen.
That's the only eternal part of us.
Amen.
Everything else is temporal. Your flesh is temporal. Your spirit is temporal. Your relationships are temporal. Your relationships with your family is temporal.
Amen.
Your relationship with your job is temporal. Don't spend too much time trying to fit in down here, because the later it gets, the less we fit.
Yes, Lord.
You'll have to compromise what you believe to fit in down here. We're at the end time. And see, God came down, and the character of God was Christ. He was a reflection. He was God made visible. Notice, God made visible. In the beginning was God. He wasn't even God then. No, God is an object of worship. Only thing he was the eternal. And in him was attributes. We are attributes of God. So don't sell yourself short thinking, oh, we're just talking about Jesus. No, you are an attribute of God.
That's right.
And in it was attributes. And those attributes were thoughts. And those thoughts were expressed to words. And the word was made flesh. You were a thought of God, which was spoken by the word of God and made flesh.
Amen.
What is it? It's all God. Becoming tangible. And you are a part of God. And Jesus came to redeem those that were put on the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. It was in God's thoughts. And that's what he came to redeem. And them, as soon as it strikes them, they'll see it, because the life is in there. It's in you already. You're not trying to become son. The Bible tells me, it says, because ye are sons.
That's right.
Not because you're going to become son. God came after you because you were a son or a daughter.
Amen.
You're already a son.
Amen.
Only reason you got God was because God come looking for you.
Yeah.
You didn't come looking for God. God come looking for you.
Amen.
You man don't seek God. God seeks man.
Yes.
Amen. Oh my.
Amen.
And when God gets a hold of you, he does something to you that you can never get away from. He does something for you that you can never get away from. It'll chase you down. It'll haunt you. It'll follow you. But God's going to be watching you, because he's going to want to make sure that you know that you're right. He wants to see if you really love him. But he already knows, because he already declared to end from the beginning. He ain't going to mess with you too much if he don't know you. He ain't going to worry about you if you don't belong to God. He's going to move right on. Because all he's doing is looking for his seed. All he's doing is looking for somebody that loves him. Somebody that can pull his word and say, I believe your word, Lord. And if you can believe God's word, God will take care of all the details.
Amen.
We spend so much time trying to take care of details. Oh, let me clean this up. Let me clean that up. Let me make this right. Let me make that right. Let me stop this. Let me start that. Let me do that. You do all that, God don't have no work.
Amen.
You just give him your heart. You just turn your life over to God. You quit working, because he already knows you. Remember, you come from his mind. You come from before the foundation of the world. He already put a germ seed of life in you. And if he already did all that work, he come all the way down through time and all creation to get to you. And God don't make junk. God come looking for you, because you belong to him. Oh, when that shepherd's out there in the field, he's only looking for his sheep. His sheep will only hear his voice. When that shepherd moves, the sheep follows the voice. He ain't trying to get the neighbor's sheep. He don't even want the neighbor's sheep. As a matter of fact, he looks at the blood tag on his own sheep. And that's what God's looking for. He's looking for the blood tag that's been applied to you. And when he sees that, then you'll come to him. You'll drop what you need to drop. You'll pick up what you need to pick up. You'll start manifesting with your very life what's in you all along. Nobody has to make you. Nobody has to force you. Nobody has to coerce you. You just say, Lord, here I am. What do you want from me? You don't even know what God wants to do with your life. He might want you to sing. He might want you to preach. He might want you to sweep the church carpet. He might want you to cut the grass. He might want you to just pay tithe to make sure the mission work worked. You don't know what he wants to do with you. But you don't come and present God with all your credentials. Because you don't have any.
Amen. Amen.
You don't have nothing to give to God. God's going to give you every tool you need to do the job. Oh, as a business owner, I used to own a painting company. And when I have to do a painting job and I have my crews out there, Isaiah, I brought them everything they needed. They didn't have to go out to buy nothing. Because you know what? You waste time going out buying stuff. You say, oh, you don't have no rollers. Let me go to the store and get them. You get the rollers. Come back. Oh, we don't have no roller covers. Oh, let me go get this one. Oh, we need brushes. Oh, need we some drop cloths. Oh, need, no. That's wasting my time. Time is money. If I got you working for me, I'm going to supply you with everything you need. I'm going to drop cloths there. I'm going to have brushes there. I'm going to have the paint there. When you walk in the door, all you got to do is take the tools that I gave you and use them. When God calls you, God don't expect you to go get nothing. Oh, Lord, let me go clean my life up. God don't want you to do that. Oh, Lord, let me lay this down. Oh, Lord, let me go pick this up. Oh, Lord, let me go. No, just shut down and shut up. I got everything you need. God will supply all your needs. He don't lick you. He don't ask you to go get nothing. God didn't save you and say, now go out here and bring me this here. Go out here and go do that. No, God brought everything you need right here. Everything you need is in the Word of God. And whatever you need, He'll give you. You can't even receive the Word of God unless He gives it to you. He'll take a mind and show it unto you. That's God's business. That's God's job. That's why I can't get mad at y'all when y'all don't understand something. I'll preach something and you're like, I don't see it. That's okay. That's all right because it ain't my job to reveal it to you. I'll just keep preaching it because when it's God's time, you'll see it. Oh, there's many things that was preached that I didn't understand. I'll just put it on the shelf. Just put it on the shelf. Said, Lord, I don't know what it means, but it sounds right. But you're going to have to tie it in with everything else. And you know what? He always comes back and says, here, you need this tool. Now, you remember that piece that you put on the shelf? Yes, Lord. Pull that off the shelf. This fits with that. Now it goes into the whole revelation. And then I see it then. So, Lord, thank you. God is the only revealer of the word. I can't get mad at you if you don't understand.
Amen.
But if you're eternal, if you come from God, God's ordained to show it to you because you are a part of Him. He will make sure you get it.
Amen.
That's why He put the fivefold ministry in there. He put the fivefold ministry in there for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, till we all come to the knowledge of the truth. That's our job. But you know what? I can still condone it without Him. I just get up here and say, Lord, here's the vessel. You know what we need here. You know what's got to be taught today. You know whatever on everybody's heart. Sister came here a couple of weeks ago, said she had a question she asked her son the night before he come to church, and I wasn't going to be that night. And she come here, and God answered the question sitting right there in the seat. And she was so excited because she said, God answered that, and I didn't even ask you the question. Because the Word is a discerner. It knows what you need. It supplies all your needs. He said He'll give it to you. And He does.
Amen, Lord.
Nah, it's 12:06. Lord, have mercy. I'm going to. Now, just for a little bit of temporary thoughts here, show you how all thoughts aren't eternal. All thoughts didn't come from Elohim. Some thoughts were just temporal thoughts. Some thoughts were thoughts that weren't going to have a good ending. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 6 says, it's just one verse here, just to narrow things down, but she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. There are people who are alive, who are dead while they live. Eternally separated from God. God never knew them. God will never know them. And God will not keep them. You say, well, is that fair? Don't make me go to Romans 9. I'm trying to close here. Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. How can you say but that God won't make this vessel to honor? And this vessel to dishonor. See why God had to be God? Because God had to create things for honor and dishonor. He created everything. But He knew that those vessels of dishonor were not going to go all the way. He knew that those vessels of dishonor were not going to... They were going to have pleasure while they lived. And while they lived and had their pleasure, they were going to be dead. And they're going to come up and say, Lord, when do we not serve you? Because someone will be serving God. I'm talking about temporary thoughts now. Worshiping God as God. And trying to do God a service without it being his will. Never come by way of the cross. They went around it. They got a good life. Some people think they're godly because they live good. That don't make you godly. That just makes you a good neighbor. Some people think, well, I got to do this. No. There are people who cannot receive the word of God. They never will. I don't care how you fix it, because it's not us that's revealing it. I'm telling you, it's God who controls who receives and who don't receive. It's not us at all.
Amen.
Now, Brother Brown said, and as I said last night, God has allotted that, his scriptures, from the beginning. Before there was time, when he was eternal, he is the eternal one. And then these things that happen now are only the attributes of God's thinking. It come out of the mind of God. It was his thinking. At first, it has to be thought, and then a word. And a word, when a thought is expressed, is a word. And then it's spoken, and it has to happen. And the whole thing is God unfolding himself in his attributes. And then God being made material, tangible, that we can talk to, speak with, and his whole church body and everything. All of us, all of this that God's been doing come from his mind, become tangible. Do you know you are the tangible thought of God?
Amen.
I could see God out here somewhere, but I can see him here. He's made himself so touchable, so tangible, so available. God has a cell phone. The great I am humbled himself so much that you can get a hold of God on a cell phone. You can come to church and hug God and shake God's hand, and you can sing to God, and you can hear God singing. That's where he's come from. He come from the great Elohim all the way down to the lowest thing he wanted to ever get into, and that's called man. He won't go any lower than us, but he pleased to dwell in us. He wanted to dwell in us. He's going to take us back with him to dwell with him.
Amen.
Therefore, your name was in his thinking. That's how you know. That's how you have eternal life. You can't have it no other way. If you got eternal life, you always was.
Amen.
Because eternal is, remember, no beginning and no ending. See? If otherwise, you can't say, well, I belong to church, I do this. No, sir. Eternal life never had anything that was eternal, never did begin and cannot end. So you were only in his thinking, your name, who you are, and what you are. That's the only way you could ever have eternal life, because you always was. And those, no matter what they are eternally dead. They were dead from the beginning. The Bible said the woman that lives in pleasure is dead while she lives, right? She always been dead. She's dead in sins and trespasses. That's the rest of the world. They're dead. They come here the wrong way. They lived here the wrong way. They'll die the wrong way. And they'll go to the great white throne judgment the wrong way. And God will move them to the left and said, I never knew you. Never knew you as part of his eternal life. That's how God's going to judge them. And it's all those names that weren't written on the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. I'm trying to close here. That's Revelation 17:8. There's more, but it ain't going to happen today. Man. And John was looking around to find a lion, and out from behind the curtain come a lamb that had been slain since before the foundation of the world. Then he saw a bloody lamb come out, and he could, and he come and took the book out of the hand of him that sat on the throne and called everything that was in the book. It was a complete book of redemption. And that is it. The book of redemption. He redeemed all that was in the book, not out of the book. Anything that had a beginning has an end. But if you've got eternal life, you never did begin and you cannot end because you're sons and daughters of God. Attributes of his thoughts and his word. You have no end of life if your name's on that book. The Lamb came to redeem it. Not all that profess Christians, not all that try to live good and holy, but those whose names were written on there, he redeemed that. And that alone, whose names were on the book. That book of life that he's talking about in the book of Revelation that nobody wants to deal with. Do you realize that book that was sealed with seven seals was the Bible? Nobody really knew what was in that book. We guessed at it. We probed at it. We tried to do our best enough. But until the ripping off of those seals, nobody really understood that Bible. But we do now. Amen. And now we're looking in that book and we can see every name that was written in there. Right. We know who's going. We know who's not going. We know all the plan that God had from before the foundation of the world. We go all the way back to the plan that God had in his mind. Amen. Before he was God. My goodness. What manner of people are we? The temporal and the eternal.
Amen.
Some things you see are temporal. Some things you see are eternal. Some people you see are temporal. Some people you see are eternal. And the proof of it is what they do with the word of God when it crosses their path. If you're an eternal seed of God, when that word crosses your path, you will go right towards the light. Just like natural plants, just like any other plant, anything else God created, it follows the light.
Amen.
And so will the bride follow the light. We'll stand here and we'll receive the word and we'll receive the word and we'll take that word in and we and the word become one and then your life will start changing. I guarantee you your life will change. I don't have to come and follow you home and tell you what to pick up and what to drop down. God will follow you home, and he'll tell you what to pick up and what to drop down. And next thing you know, the things you used to love, you find you don't love no more. The taste you used to have, you find you don't have that no more. The things of the world will grow strangely dim because God's word is becoming more and more important to you than all the things that Egypt can hold. That's what Moses found out.
Amen.
Oh, he looked at the children of Israel, and he looked at what Pharaoh had in his life for those. Pharaoh, no doubt, told Moses all his life what he's going to do. Moses, I'm going to give you this. Moses, I'm going to do that. All the riches of Egypt that Moses had laid before him, he looked at them and he looked at those little mud daubers out there called the Israelites, and he loved them more. And he laid all those treasures of Egypt aside to go after the will of God. That's what happened in your life. When you walk in the light, it will automatically manifest what's ordained of you because God already saw you do it. Not God already made you do it. God already saw that you willingly did it. You chose to do it. You're a free moral agent. You can serve God or you don't. You don't have to serve God. But God knows if you will. And he knows if you love him. And he knows if you want to do the right thing. And that's the proof that there's eternal life there. That you'll follow that word. And you'll fulfill the word. It only have, you know, down through the ages, they fulfilled the scripture and didn't even know they were doing it. You're fulfilling the scripture and you know you're doing it. But you're doing just as much as they did. They stumbled into their word. You're stumbling into yours. We come to church, we come to service, we think we know what we want to do, we know what God wants, and God comes and he just takes it and does what he wants. Amen. And when it's done, we look back and say, oh, it is good. Look at God. Look what he did in this service today. Look how he brought the word here today. Look what he's done today. And you didn't know, and neither did I,
Amen.
How God was going to do it. That's why I don't tell them. People say, well, what are you going to preach on? I don't know. It's what God wants.
Amen.
I don't come up here. I'm telling you, I'd never do it. I never get there. 14 pages today. And that's just a partial bit of a message. I never get to that. I don't worry about that. I get excited while I'm studying, looking things up. But I know I'm not. Sometimes when I finish, I just shake my head and say, God, no, we're not doing that. It's just, there's no way we're going to get to that. But because we only have so much time. Oh, I could sit here and preach for 4 more hours. But I'm not going to do that. But I look back when it's all said and done. Lord, what did you pull out of all of that? That you brought to the people. You know what the people need. And all I do is get up here as a vessel for you could, so you could speak through to them. That's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with the eternal God of heaven. He came from Elohim before he was even God. That makes people's heads spin. They did last week and they were their heads, some of their heads were spinning. Before he was God, he was the self-existing one. Without Father, I was going to talk about Melchizedek. I didn't get time. You know, ran me out of time. Melchizedek was Elohim. He was without Father, without Mother, without beginning a day, without ending a life. He didn't have a start time. God just put skin on him and come down here. But it was Elohim. The only thing that is eternal is God himself. And before he was God, we called him Elohim, the self-existing one, because he wasn't called God at the time. Because God is an object of worship. And he come and he become a God of worship. Then he come and he built all this and done all these things. But the whole time, he put free moral agency out here. Now we serve God because we want to. But it shows that you are eternal. Because you're going to fulfill everything that's ordained of you, just like everybody else did. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to fret yourself over it, thinking that you're going to have to do something special. Just surrender yourself to him. God will take care of you. All he wants you to do is walk in the light as he does in the light. And the Bible says you'll have fellowship one with another. You're just walking. And you know what? I've walked this walk. And while I'm walking, people just come up. While I'm walking, they just, come on, Jay. Come walk. And then I'm fellowship with Jay over the word. Then Jeremiah gets up and he walks with us too. Come on, Jeremiah, come walk with us. This is how we do it. This is how we build the body. It's we have fellowship. He said, if you walk in the light, that's ease in the light. Thank you, Jay. You can sit down. Thank you. Good. Don't keep walking with me. If you walk in the light as he's in the light, then you'll have fellowship one with another. The word is what brings the body together. The word is what unites us. The word is the only thing we have in common. Everything else is different as night and day.
That's right.
But we walk in this light, and God brings us in fellowship. And he does what he needs to do. And he takes care of everything. But it's the eternal life of God walking through this land. And all the eternal pieces are coming together for uniting. Because there's a uniting in the air that we're all going to meet together. With both those who are here and those that have gone on before. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for this word that you brought for us today. Thank you to know the difference between the temporal things and the eternal things. Thank you, Father, that we can understand in the hour that we're living in things that we have not seen or heard throughout all time. But yet now we have access to it by the opening of those seals that we can really see and understand what your Bible is trying to explain to us. Now we can look at what you did in the role of God and the attributes there. And how great you are, Father. How great you are. And Lord, we thank you for all you've done and how you've blessed us and given us so many things. And Lord, we pray that you'll help us to continue to look in your word because it has all the answers. We're not surprised in this hour, but we're willingly receiving your word. Lord, I have this handkerchief that's been asked for this morning. And I ask you to send your word
touch the family, the Bond family. You know the need there. Ask you to move in their behalf. And normally I would have Brother Bond come and lay his hands on it. But I'm sure he's praying where he's sitting. And Lord, we're praying together as a body, knowing that, Lord, your word is true. Your healing powers are still the same yesterday, today, and forever. We've seen the evidence. We've seen the healings. We've seen the miracles. We've seen all these things. But most of all that we're thankful for, Father, is that we've seen your word. Be with us today and go before us. Help us to just appreciate all that you've done. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Brother Bond, you want to come and get this? We'll walk in the light. Such a beautiful light. Good to have our visitors. God bless you, brother. You got in late. You got part of our surge. Would you like to say something? Anything?
Grateful and thankful that I was in the presence of the Holy Spirit and amongst my brethren. Amen. And I just pray that Jesus continue to enlarge your territory, Pastor, and bless you in everything that you do.
He said, his brother who?
Brother Willard.
Brother Willard.
Deacon Willard. Yeah.
Deacon Willard. I don't know.
You know?
People know me. Welcome.
It's nothing but God.
Amen. Amen. And we have a brother and sister back there. Good to have you. Would say anything, brother, y'all. Good to have you here.
My name is Fabrice, and this is my wife, Pierre.
God bless you.
We have your contact through Branham Tabernacle.
Oh, through Branham Tabernacle. Okay, welcome. Mm-hmm. Welcome. Amen. Do come again.
Sorry?
Good. Come again.
Yeah, sure.
Amen. When you all be in prayer, I'm just about ready to buy the tickets for India. I've checked. Everything seems to be in order. And so I'll be locking that in. So pray for that trip coming up. Pray for the brothers and sisters in the Philippines. They had a typhoon and the brother Victor and a group in that area has had flooding. Pray for them. And there's a brother Dillion's daughter, his youngest daughter passed away. Pray for that family as well. And that's the second daughter he's lost. And just remember them. And just keep the bride in a prayer because, you know, we got work to do. And we don't want to be hindered by anything that Satan tries to throw in our path. And we won't be because God already saw us through it. So pray for these things. We got upcoming services. New Year's Eve services will be probably the next thing coming up. And we have anything between now and then? Did we say anything about Thanksgiving? We'll talk about Thanksgiving because I like to do the Thanksgiving dinner. We ain't talked about it, but I already saying we're doing it now. I like to do that. It's like family day, and we get to spend that day together. I don't remember how we did it last year, but we'll pick a time. We won't take Thanksgiving, but we'll just pick a time because we're not worried about the pilgrims and Indians getting together at Thanksgiving. This is believers getting together, so it could be any Sunday, any day. So we'll talk on that. We'll keep you in mind. Remember Brother Rizaldo in California? We text him. He's doing well. He's now pastoring. He's pastoring a little group up there in the northern part of San Diego. So pray for him. He could use the help, support. I'm trying to get him to come up. He's gotten his new kidney and sounds like he's doing well. So I'm praying that he can travel again and come and see us. And Brother Tony texted me and said, God bless you all. He always tell me to tell you all hello when he comes through, wherever he goes. He always keeps in touch with me. We'll walk in the light. That's what we want to do. Such a beautiful light. Shines all around us by day and by night. It's Jesus, the light of the world. That's where that light is. We're following Jesus. Amen. Come back tonight at 7 for Bible study. Well, ooh, that seems high. Is that, that's G? Is that, can you put that somewhere else? Anywhere else. We'll walk in the light. It's such a beauty. Oh, I, yes, come where the dewdrops of mercy are bright. It shines all around us by day and by night. For it's Jesus, the light of the world. Oh, we will walk in the light. Come on, Brother Don. It's such a
you're just